Chris. Sports Wrap.
Oh, see, we've even changed the intro.
Wow.
To include you narrowly.
Sure.
Well, because you've been throwing your weight around, tipping over furniture, threatening to leave, and we thought we'd finally do it. So it's now officially your sports report. How are you? Where are you today? Are you still in lockdown or are you still in a quarantine or are you out and about?
I'm out and about, but we're not allowed to leave the hotel in Dubai. So I go to the cricket grounds and back to the hotel and that's about it. So sometimes when I go in the lift, it's really fun because it's a different room to be in.
The good thing about Dubai from memory is the hotels are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been actually very, very pleasant. They've looked after us. And I don't have the suite of Kevin Peterson or Mark Nicholas, but the room's pretty big. I'm
well,
not about to complain.
I did see a photo of you lying on a chaise lounge eating grapes. So, come on. Let's not complain about the whole thing. We thought we might start with what's happening on the national landscape. Let's talk about the two biggest codes in Australia right now, the NRL and the AFL. We're up to... Well, we've had semi-final week, we're up to preliminary finals, and the rest, what did you make of the results on the weekend? Let's start with the Tigers.
Yeah, of course you want to start with the Tigers, because after last week, they actually performed. They came out, beat St Kilda. I've got to say, though, Mickey, St Kilda, pretty undermanned.
All right.
Do you really think it was that big a win?
Now, you're supposed to be objective and a sports reporter with your hat on, and you just don't want to give me any joy. It was an unconvincing win. I agree with you. We are not playing our best footy. Who wins next week?
You're up against Port at the Adelaide Oval, and there's going to be... You know, crowd there, and Port have been firing all year. It's genuinely going to be tough for you guys, and I do feel for you for the first time, you know, playing so far from home for so many months. I mean, it's not like last year where you had, 10 games in a row at the MCG to win?
Is that right?
Hey, this is turning into a roast. All I ask of you is a sensible sports report.
I like it now.
It's turned into a sledge fest.
I tell you what, though, at least you're not Collingwood. Absolutely. Thanks by Geelong. That was unbelievable. If you missed the first few minutes, you missed the entire game, really.
Normally I enjoy the cutaways to Eddie McGuire in the crowd when they're losing, but this was just hard to watch. And I felt, I'll get it off him, leave him alone. And I'm guessing he didn't end up at the Pink Flamingo that night because... Or if he did, he was drowning his sorrows.
Yeah.
He might be drowning his sorrows, but after that huge effort in Perth a week before, it was always going to be tough. So in the end, the prelims, it'll be Port up against Tigers, as we mentioned, and on Saturday, Brisbane host Geelong at the Gabba. So I'm really excited that we get two genuine home preliminary finals. So I think in the year of 2020, that's a nice
thing. The best four teams got through. Mm. Let's turn attention to the NRL, and the Rabbits are through, the Bunny Rabbits.
Yeah.
Yes, so South Sydney beat Parramatta in the end. That means that they will come up against Penrith at ANZ, and Canberra got the better of the Roosters. So that's a big one. Now they're facing the Storm at Suncorp, and I believe they're not letting any Canberra Raiders fans in. So a bit of spice added to that. So once again, two massive preliminary finals in the NRL as well. We just love the fact that 2020 has actually gotten to this point.
Hey, can I say this about Russell Crowe's having a good year, because he's both a Tiger and a Rabbitohs fan. So he is having
He's
a cracker.
Good year.
And I must speak to him, see if he wants to come. You know, he holds me in high regard. On this show, Errol, you wouldn't remember this or have heard this, but he said I was one of the best actors ever.
Talented, I think.
Talented in the world. Have we got the grab from our interview with Russell?
We do. Here it is.
He surprisingly has got some acting chops.
I do a lot of trust exercises.
Talented actor.
Let's not go too far.
Hello. Very talented actor from Russell Crowe. I pitched to him a remake, Gladiator 2, which is a bit of a two-hander. We both wear skirts. It goes down to the wire.
I know that radio is not a visual medium, but if it was, my thumb just went down.
I haven't been very helpful. I don't think you're on my team anymore. You used to be one of the best in the business. I'm starting to doubt your credentials. Now, quickly, what happened over the ditch?
Oh, man, what an epic game.
In the first game of the Bledisloe Cup. Yeah. How long since we've beaten them over there?
Oh, it's a stupid amount of time. I believe it's 18 years or something crazy like that, a stupid amount of time.
Came back from 10 points down, I think, and we had the final kick. And
exactly. It was 13-3 in the second half, had the final kick of the game. It was unbelievable. Reece Hodge just unloaded. This is the audio from that moment.
Hodge, it's got the distance. Oh, it's off the post. And James O'Connor says, we've fought for 88 minutes and 35 seconds. We will take the draw.
16 all in the end. But look, under new coach Dave Rennie, certainly an improved effort and a bit of hope. So,
and they've got to go to Eden Park for the next one. Imagine if we had one. Imagine going to their one-up. Do you know what we need? And I've said this before. This is how we fight back.
Mm.
When they do the haka, we respond with a nut. And I think that will get in their mental kitchen.
Have the same kind of fear.
Hey, hang around narrowly. We're going to go overseas and get some results from the French Open, the German Grand Prix, and, of course, the NBA, which is piping hot.
Yeah, Narrowly Meadows is with us. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy. This is Kennedy Malloy, Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Coming up soon, Tom Gleisner. We've got the Song Whisperer as well, but being a Monday from Dubai, Narrowly Meadows is with us.
There's too much sport news off the weekend to cover, and piping hot as we speak. A result in the NBA Finals, Narrowly. What happened?
Massive 24 hours in world sports. So NBA Finals, LA Lakers went in with a 3-2 lead over Miami Heat, and they got it done in Game 7. Four-time champion LeBron James and four-time Finals MVP. He finished with 28 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists in a 106-93 win this morning. So a triple-double. He's unbelievable record in Finals. How about this? There have been 57 NBA Finals games played over the past decade. LeBron James has played in 51 of them.
Oh,
unbelievable.
He's won them for three different teams, including the team he beat today. He won two at. Come on. So for those people who were still trying to find a chink in his armour or trying to suggest he doesn't deserve to be held in the highest, that's surely that.
Sounds a little bit like you. He said, I want my damn respect.
Well, and we deserve it, the two of us. We're like peas in a pod.
Oh, yeah.
We're hard to split on most issues. Hey, now, also, let's talk about the French Open. I put it to you, I find tennis boring, per se.
Not
so
fan,
out of all the sports, tennis is the one that I enjoy the least. I feel their fans don't represent any other fan-like behaviour. They generally don't like other sports. It's generally a nerd ranch for people from rich suburbs.
Yeah.
So maybe the top end of horse racing. Maybe your birdcage at the spring carnival. But they're not there for sport, are they?
Yeah, no, absolutely
not. And when you say tennis is boring, probably the most boring part of tennis is the French Open, the old onto car. However, COVID has tossed up the best French Open in history for mine. Given all the scandals that have plagued it, true or false?
Well, look, I wouldn't say true or false, but you've given a wonderful preamble to the fact that Rafael Nadal has now won as many Grand Slams as Roger Federer. I think that's the nicest pump-up that Rafael Nadal has ever got. We should clip up this piece of audio and send it over to him as a congratulations because he's just won his 20th Grand Slam title.
So did he? I didn't even know that. You're telling me this now for the first time.
That is 13 irrelevant Grand Slam titles, according to you, because it was at the French Open.
No. It is, but who
even
cares?
Though Roger Federer said it was one of sport's greatest achievements in a very graceful tweet.
Yeah.
So in the end, Nadal demolished Novak Djokovic 6-love, 6-2, 7-5. So it seems like even Novak Djokovic didn't think it was worth showing up.
Hey, as I said, loser bags the court. That should be it in the French Open. Winner gets the trophy. Loser has to bag the court. But I think what overshadows that achievement is, like, people complaining about the balls, someone playing with COVID, a woman tennis player asking her boyfriend to change seats. Have a look.
Yeah, the reaction from Collins.
Tom, find a different spot. Sit in a different spot. I'm distracted. Sit in a different spot.
Okay, there we go. I think
it's taken a little while.
It
55
has.
Minutes.
Maybe explained a few things there. I think that was directed at Mikhail Almagro.
Yeah.
Will he move? That'll be the question.
Please.
I think you've got to move here.
She wants to move.
Go over there. Go.
Okay, it's not Almagro. He stayed put.
Yeah, it's someone else there. He's just had to go and shrugging shoulders. The person there, Colin's not happy with that person.
All right, you get the idea. There was other stuff too. There was just one after the other. It was a ridiculous tournament. even by tennis standards.
And just with the women, it ended up being won by Iga Swiatek. Who do you ask? An unseeded 19-year-old, world number 54. So that adds to the drama of the whole thing as well.
Shows you how meaningless it is as a tournament and a title.
I'm moving right along to the F1. Dan Ricciardo, wonderful scenes for an Australian.
How long since he's been on a podium?
More than 2 years. Wow. And it felt like a new one. He finished. Let's have a listen to the audio.
Sure. Is that a podium, boys? Is that a f***ing podium?
That's a f***ing podium. Yeah, nice shot, mate. Awesome drive.
Woo! It's a f***ing podium, Daniel. Thank you.
Well done.
Even swearing sounds better with an accent.
Exactly. He's brought them down to his level. Daniel was absolutely beautiful, but he was so excited. He was so excited that he forgot to do a shoey on the podium.
What the hell?
He's had 29 podiums at Red Bull and forgot this time to do a shoey at his new team. So basically he got behind in the rooms behind the scenes and decided to complete it because he was absolutely getting hammered on social media for, mate, we waited 2 years and it's not the shoey.
I think I was so caught up in the podium. Obviously it's been a while. And everyone after was like, why didn't you do a shoey? I was like, oh man. So anyway, here it is. Belated, but better late than never. Cheers, everyone. Mother's milk.
Well done.
Is that a good thing to do in the cut era of coronavirus? Drinking out of your shoe while there's a pandemic on, you may as well put some bat soup in your, in your shoe and give it a run.
Well, I just want to say, just finally from the F1, a really special moment. So Mick Schumacher, the son of Michael, presented Lewis Hamilton with one of his father's helmets because he equaled the F1 win record, which was 91. So that was a really, really touching moment and nice to see a great of the sport just be overawed by the emotion of that. So.
Do you know, I know Michael Schumacher's not well, but I'd still pick him ahead of Ralph to drive for my team. Early, just don't respond and you'll be okay. I'm just saying.
Sorry, I think the audio is cut out a bit here in Dubai. I didn't quite catch the last little bit of that.
Hey, now, just before we go, on Ricciardo, has he pulled the wrong rein leaving this team now? Mm. If he's on the podium and he's going across the road to McLaren, is this a bad time to be leaving the upswing?
And so he's at Renault at the moment. He was at Red Bull, at Renault now, and now heading over to McLaren. And look, he was asked that question. He said, you know what? I would rather leave on a high. We've tried so hard here, so I'd rather leave with it moving on the up and feel like I achieved something with this team and then move on. So he is always, you know, Dan Ricciardo, very positive person, looking at the positives on this one too.
Good on you. Well done, Neroli. Tigers win next week? Yes. Well said.